Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on WHKW AM 1220, The Word, right here, Independence, Ohio. And I hope you'll be able to stick with us. It's a beautiful night here in northeastern Ohio. If you're out on the roads, you know, I hope you'll be able to stay with us as long as you get the signal there. And if you're at home, get a chance to go outside and enjoy a little bit of the evening. Yeah, it's starting to cool down, but it's kind of a nice time of year. Got a nice week, I guess, coming up. Nice mild temperatures, and it just looks like good weather. And certainly a beautiful day for Mother's Day today. And happy Mother's Day to all the mothers that are out there that are listening, those that mothers and grandmothers. And certainly we just want to wish you all the best here on Mother's Day. Let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. And again, Lord, we just pray a special blessing tonight for the mothers and grandmothers in the audience that are listening tonight. And I just pray that you bless them in a special way here on this Mother's Day. And then, Father, we do want to thank you for the opportunity that we have. Help us make a difference in somebody's life, point people to Christ tonight. And we do pray that you bless the program, use it for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, you're listening, as I said, to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We'll be talking about a variety of things, talking about current events in light of God's Word, as well as questions about the Bible. We certainly invite you to give us a call. Our telephone lines are open. You can call us toll-free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air tonight with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Certainly welcome your phone calls there tonight, and like I said, the phones are open, and if you got a question you want to give us a call, we look forward to hearing from you tonight, and certainly we'll be giving out those numbers periodically during the course of the evening. And just to mention a couple things happening out there in the world today. And probably the biggest story, I guess, in many respects, especially from a Christian perspective, evangelical or fundamentalist Christian perspective, has been the endorsement of same-sex marriage by the President of the United States. And it all started back last week on one of the Sunday talk show or Sunday television news shows, where Vice President Biden supposedly stuck his foot in the mouth, saying that he saw nothing wrong with same-sex marriages. And of course, everybody said, "Oh, that was one of Biden's many gaffes," which he's famous for. And so the subject grew in intensity throughout the course of the day, and then Monday, of course, it became a more pressing issue. And finally, the president announced that he would be coming out with a special address on the issue, and I don't recall exactly which media person it is that he talked to, and in the course of the conversation or the interview revealed that he does indeed support same-sex marriage, and he pointed out how this administration had stopped defending the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, which was passed, and as the leader of the executive branch, it's actually his duty to enforce that, and yet he had chosen early on in his presidency to not enforce the federal or defend the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. And also, he has come out in the past that he's against various state acts of the same nature. But he made it official, and everybody's saying, "Oh, on the one hand, what a brave man coming out with this position." And then, of course, on the other hand, people are in an uproar, and people are acting as if it was a spurious thing that just sort of happened. And I don't really believe that for a minute. I think that Vice President Biden's supposed gaffe a week ago was purposely made. And give me an example. You ever been in a situation where somebody says something, or perhaps you yourself have said something that you say it seriously, and if the people seem to get offended, then you try to pass it off as a joke or something like that. And but if they don't get too offended, then you pass it off seriously, and people do that. I think that was the first thing, was to see what would happen. And I think that this was planned since before he even took his oath of office a little over 3 years ago. I think this has been the plan all along, and I think they purposely did it now rather than in September or October, because they knew that it would alienate a certain percentage of their base, and certainly a good number of minority leaders have come out against this endorsement of same-sex marriage, and there's been several outspoken black leaders who have said to call this a civil rights issue on the same level as that of which blacks and other minorities in this country have struggled to get equal rights, to get the right to vote, to get a variety of rights which they enjoy today in this country, that takes away from their struggle to try to equate same-sex marriage in the same category of civil rights status. And so there's a number of indications also that support for the president has dropped considerably as a result of taking this position. And that's why I think he did it now. They're hoping that they can rebuild support amongst some of the minority constituents that are against this position. They're hoping to regain that support and shore that up by the time the election rolls around in November. But it was calculated. They figured that that they'd take the hit now, but they'd have time to regain it. If they did it in September or October, they wouldn't have been able to regain it in time. I think it was a calculated decision. Be that as it may, the presidential's job approval had took a hit this past week. And it's interesting, by Friday, the gap between, according to the Rasmussen polls, Rasmussen Reports Online, the polls at RasmussenReports.com showed that the gap between those that strongly disapprove of President Obama's job performance and those who strongly approve of his job performance increased to about 19 points. And then, of course, by Saturday, that job approval rating, or I'm sorry, that job approval gap had increased again between those who strongly approved or strongly disapproved and those that strongly approved, went from 19 points to 22 points difference. And, of course, the in both cases, the strongly approved was 19 points Friday, and then by Saturday, 22 points less than those who strongly disapprove of his performance. So he has taken a hit. Some black leaders and church leaders have said that their constituents aren't going to vote for somebody who's a Republican, but it doesn't mean they're going to go out and vote for Obama. They're just going to stay home. And on the flip side of it, on the Republican side, there's a number of evangelicals who, while they don't approve of President Obama's positions here, same-sex marriage being the least of them, but many of the other anti-God, anti-Christian principles and anti-American positions that he's taken, they have been kind of cool towards Mitt Romney being the Republican nominee, and some evangelicals have even said, well, I just won't vote rather than vote for a Mormon. And so, in other words, they were saying, we'd rather our non-vote help elect Obama to another term than vote for a Mormon, is basically what they were saying. And a number of them are now enthused, saying that this will drive them to vote for Mitt Romney in order to prevent Obama from having a second term. And certainly I would think that if you're a born-again Christian who believes the Bible and believes strongly in the pro-life position and against special rights for homosexuals and the defense of marriage and the family, and other biblical issues like that, I would think that would be enough to cause you to vote against President Obama in the November election. But if you've got some comments about that or some questions about that or other things about the Word of God, Bible, questions about the Bible, current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air tonight and with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And also, you know, thinking about this issue, you know, we were talking about it at church. My wife and I were talking about it at home. And there's other cultures, other peoples in the past that have, allowed homosexuality within the culture. And certainly it's nothing new, but the issue now is the demand that the state, specifically that the federal government, recognize same-sex marriage and redefine the age-old, thousands-of-years-old definition of marriage. But the question, though, that comes now is, you know, where do you draw the line? Where do you stop changing the definition of marriage? We were talking about it Wednesday night, our Wednesday night Bible study, and prayer meeting, and saying that, it's not illegal for for homosexuals or lesbians to get married in this country. It's not illegal at all. In fact, a homosexual man can marry a lesbian woman anytime he wants to. That's absolutely true. Nobody's going to stop them, or they can marry a heterosexual. But do you realize that there are some aberrant churches out there that have gone away from their biblical basis who do recognize marriages between two men or two women? Those churches are out there. There's no law really that says you can't go to a church or some kind of group that will recognize you as being married. The question is whether or not the federal government should recognize that. You can accomplish virtually everything that they say that they're not able to get because they don't have a federally recognized marriage. You can accomplish most any of those things they're concerned about through powers of attorney, through contractual agreements, on a variety of things there. And I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not going to try and get into all of that, but many of those things can be established. I've heard lawyers talk about it on the radio and different programs. But the fact of the matter is, what they want to do is get the federal government to recognize this and change the definition for the entire country. I heard somebody on a talk show last week saying, talking about this question. The talk show host asked them and said, well, do you think that if the federal government recognizes this, then the federal government should be able to force churches to recognize same-sex marriages? And the guy, without hesitation, said, absolutely. And see, that's another aspect of it. This is not something that should be done by judicial fiat. This is not something that should be done by administrative, like presidential orders, executive orders, something like that. This is something that, if you look at our constitutional form of government, ought to be handed, for one thing, at the state level, not the federal level. And that's where it ought to be handled. And the advocates of same-sex marriage don't want it handled at the state level, because every time that it is, states vote on this issue, and remember, we the people, and when we the people vote in various states on this issue, what has happened, I believe every single time there's been a state ballot issue, a state issue to defend marriage and to ban the state recognition of same-sex marriage, we the people in that state, including we the people here in Ohio a few years ago, have overwhelmingly voted against recognizing same-sex marriage by their state. North Carolina, last Tuesday, I believe it was, overwhelmingly voted to defend the traditional definition of marriage as between one man and one woman, and not to allow same-sex marriages to be recognized by the state of North Carolina. They join, I believe it's about, off the top of my head, I think about 30 states right now have passed legislation like that. They've done it twice in California now, and the first time they did it, it was like a resolution, and then a minority, a vocal minority, got the courts to overturn the will of the people, and then they redid it again, I believe, as an amendment to the state constitution, and I think it's still in effect. I may be wrong on that, but I don't think they were able to get the courts to overturn that one, but, you know, that's our Constitution. Constitution of the United States of America starts, we the people, and we the people have rights. You know, there's obviously the Constitution is designed to protect, you know, minorities and people from the tyranny of the majority. That's why the United States of America is not a pure democracy. We call ourselves a democracy, but we're really not. We're a constitutional republic, and we operate along some democratic methods. And a pure democracy is really mob rule. All you need to do is get the majority of people with you, and you can overturn anything or do anything. If you get your neighbors together and you decide that one guy on your street has a nice car, and you think you should have that car and not him, and you get all your neighbors together in a pure democracy, you could all vote and say, yeah, you should have the car, not your neighbor. And then your neighbor would have to give you the car if you were a pure democracy, which we're not. But under a constitutional republic, we're bound by a constitution, a rule of law. And the rule of law protects the majority from making rash decisions like that. And it also protects the minority's rights as well. And it also should protect the majority from what's called the tyranny of the minority. And there's a balance there in the Constitution. If you haven't read the Constitution of the United States of America recently, you ought to read it. And if you haven't read the Constitution of the State of Ohio, you ought to take a look at that as well. You can find these things online. You can get copies of them. Go to the library. You can read it. Interesting reading. Read some books on how we got our Constitution. Read some books on what the Founding Fathers were thinking and the things that were going through their heads. And it'll open up your eyes to what the Constitution means. And we have a limited form of government based on the rule of law, and it allows for the will of we the people to be expressed in a lawful fashion. And of course, when we the people go counter to the vocal minority in this country that wants state recognition and federal recognition of same-sex marriages, then when we the people express our opinion at the ballot box, they're not happy. They try to force it through judicial fiat, through some kind of force, heavy-handed approach through the executive branch or something to thwart the legitimate, lawful vote of we the people. Well, as I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673, with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And we can talk about that a little bit more and some of the ramifications of that. I think that that's a subject that goes up there with the treatment of Israel in terms of God's dealing with a country. But changing subjects here slightly here this evening, another thing that I was wanting to mention here this evening, you probably heard last week the underwear bomb plot number two that was thwarted, and tremendous intelligence operation that took place there, and certainly it's amazing to read what all took place. British intelligence agents, the British MI6, as well as CIA and Saudi American, or I'm sorry, Saudi Arabian intelligence agents, and also the Yemenis, and they were looking at infiltrating this Al-Qaeda group down in Yemen. That this group that wanted to blow up an airliner. And the reason that I'm bringing this up, you say, well, what's that got to do with the Bible? Well, part of the role of the leader of a country is to protect the people in their country. And MI6 is angry. There are people in our intelligence community that are angry because the fact that the details on how this terrorist group was infiltrated and how a undercover agent got in there and convinced these Islamic terrorists that he could be trusted to do this, and then to reveal the agencies involved in all of that, well, there's people in our intelligence community, let's put it this way, who believe that the leak came from a high level in the administration. If I was going to guess, I would say that it was quite high in the administration, because I believe that there's a person quite high in the administration that wants to look like he's tough on terror all of a sudden, wants to look like he's really doing things to defend this country, but instead he's blown the cover off from a number of things that was happening over in the Middle East that was protecting this country. And there's a former head of the CIA's Bin Laden unit, Mike Schur, who said essentially that MI6, the British Foreign Intelligence Agency, ought to be very angry about this, and that the British Foreign Minister ought to basically raise this issue with the president. And essentially what he's saying in a little more colorful language is really rake him over the coals, because this seems to be nothing but a political thing. This was a leak that was designed to make the president look good, and doing so, it endangers Americans. It endangers British agents. It endangers other agents in other countries that are working with the British and the Americans. And like the former head of the CIA Counterterrorism Center, Robert Grenier, said, he said that as for the British intelligence, he says they must be very unhappy, and they're often exasperated with their American friends who are more leak-prone. And then he said this, he said, in their place, I would think two or three times before sharing with the Americans, and then only if I had to. He further observed that the problem with that dynamic is that you don't know what you don't know and what opportunities you might be missing when you decide not to share. And the Americans are doing a very good job of undermining this trust. And he said this, the problem starts at the top. And that's a serious statement there. And, you know, when we have an administration who on the one hand is endangering our military and our intelligence assets, and on the other hand is doing everything he can to fight restrictions on abortion and to promote abortion as much as possible, and then on the other hand violating Christian beliefs and telling the Catholic Church and other churches that they have to fund abortion and in their health care plans, and then endorsing same-sex marriage and all of these things, you know, we've got an administration that's so far out of touch with godly principles that it makes me nervous as to, you know, what might be next in line for our country in the judgment of God. And we've already seen it because of the way that our administration has treated Israel. And God has said at least four times in the Old Testament, essentially, he'd bless those that bless Israel and curse those that curse Israel. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got a caller here, Logan in Wayne County. And Logan, are you there?
Hello?
Hi, Logan. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask a couple things about...
Yes, sir.
Why would you think that the black community would vote like 95-98% for Obama, regardless of what he said, if it's something right or something wrong? Because then they was talking about righteousness, and that they need to go to the black church leaders and have them to try to work something out with the White House. And if they're not against sin, it wouldn't matter what they worked out against at the White House, would it? I mean,
yeah. And let me let you know, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour break, and we can hold you over if you'd like to, so that we can deal with this a little bit more in depth. If you'd like to be a few minutes,
okay.
But just getting a start on that, I think the primary reason that they voted for Obama and would vote for him again is because he has a D after his name. I mean, that's what it really boils down to. About 6 years, I think it was 6 years ago when we had the governor's election in Ohio, and the candidates were Blackwell was the Republican and Strickland was the Democrat.
Right.
Now, at that time, Blackwell lost, and the black vote overwhelmingly went for Strickland, who was a white liberal who had a D after his name. And Blackwell, who was a black conservative who had an R after his name, they didn't support him. So it's not the race issue, it's the political position. And we'll address that a little bit more in the second half, if you'll hold on, and we'll take care of, or talk about that a little bit more. But stay with us. We've got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show. All right, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and certainly give you an invitation to visit us there. That's our primary sponsor of the program, but also sponsored by Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is located at 6668 Royalton Road. That's State Route 82 in North Royalton, Ohio. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is open Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday, noon until 5:30 p.m., and you can contact Frank at Frank's Antiques in North Royalton by calling 440-237-4393. That's 440-237-4393, and let Frank at Frank's Antiques in North Royalton know that you heard about him here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Well, we've been talking about some of the things that are happening out there, and in particular with this current administration, it's anti-Christian, anti-Bible positions that it's been taking. And we have caller Logan and who was asking about why a number of black leaders have endorsed Obama. And Logan, are you still with us?
Yes.
Yes, sir. And go ahead and restate your question, if you would, please, sir, for our listeners.
Well, one thing is that the blacks always say that they are for the right thing, and they want to use the church as a source of helping the young people, and they need to said the church needs to go and meet with the White House, and if the church doesn't believe in against sin, if they don't think homosexuality is sin and all that, then why would they need to meet anywhere? Because the Bible says righteousness will exalt a nation, and
exactly.
Sin is a reproach to any people.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that if the righteous lead, if the wicked lead, then we're all going to suffer, and the righteous lead, we're all going to benefit from it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not... So just to follow one man, and they keep talking about Dr. Martin Luther King, and Dr. King was a Republican.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that, and that's something I was going to bring up, because today it seems like it's not the person's position, whether they have godly moral positions or not. It's just a matter of whether they have an R or a D after their name. And that's what I said before the break. About 6 years ago, in a governor's election in Ohio, a lot of the black leaders in Ohio endorsed the white candidate against the black candidate because he had a D after his name and the black candidate had an R. When, as you pointed out, Martin Luther King indeed was a registered Republican. In fact, prior to the 1960s. Most blacks in this country were Republicans, and they did vote Republican. Part of the reason for that is the Republican Party was born. You can check this out. They were a wing of the Whig Party that came into being because they opposed slavery. And so from the very origin of the Republican Party, they were trying to free the blacks from slavery. And there were certain members of the Whig Party who didn't want to get involved, and eventually the Whig Party disappeared, and the Republican wing became the party. Abraham Lincoln, of course, was a Republican.
Yeah, he got killed by supporting that.
And the Ku Klux Klan was organized by Democrats. In fact, up until recently, the guy that was called the soul of the Senate was, I see another caller from West Virginia on the board, the soul of the Senate, Robert Byrd, was a good Democrat and a Grand Wizard, I believe it was, in the Ku Klux Klan. The Klan vote got him elected to the Senate, and he was called the soul of the Senate. And then we also know that it was the Republicans in the Congress that got the Civil Rights Act passed. Lyndon Johnson, by his own words, and I won't repeat the derogatory terms that he used referring to blacks, he said that he pushed that legislation through because it would make the blacks support the Democrats for the next 100 years. And indeed it has. Anybody that's interested in finding out more about this, I read an excellent book by Wayne Perlman, who is a black writer. And he started out to write a book of what was wrong with the Republicans, and he wrote a book called Unfounded Loyalty, where he basically found that if you check out history, all that was bad for the blacks in this country was supported and promoted by the Democrats. Everything from the Ku Klux Klan, slavery, Jim Crow laws, all of that was promoted by the Democrats. When civil rights was passed in the 60s, it wasn't the Republican governors that were standing in the schoolhouse trying to keep black students out. It was the Democrat voters. It was Mitt Romney's father, who was a Republican leader in the state of Michigan, who supported civil rights. And it was the Democrat governor, Wallace, down in, Alabama, that eventually got shot because of just his wicked positions, calling out the guard, trying to keep blacks out of the state schools and things. And Wayne Perlman documents this in how prior to the 1960s, most blacks in this country overwhelmingly voted Republican because they understood it was the Republicans that got them their freedom from slavery. It was the Republicans that worked to overcome Jim Crow laws. It was many cases Republicans, not all Republicans, I know there's exceptions, but it was Republicans in many cases that opposed the Ku Klux Klan, all of this stuff. And it was the Republicans that benefited them. That's why Martin Luther King was a Republican. And
the Ku Klux Klan, what would be more, it wouldn't be any more wrong with the Ku Klux Klan than it would be with the Black Panthers.
Well, yeah, they were both racist organizations,
both
of them. And let me give this to you as well. 3 years ago, or actually 4 years ago, in the run-up to the presidential election 4 years ago, I had no less than three women who called. They attended churches in the Cleveland area, black churches, and they asked me this. They said, why, when our church is pro-life, against special rights for homosexuals, pro-family, pro-marriage, and all this, why is our pastor telling us to vote for somebody who is not supportive of those things?
And the color, that's all.
It was the D. It wasn't the color. It was the D after the name.
Well, I got a D after my name, and I never vote for a D.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about in some of these churches, that seemed to be the thing, and I'm going by that, by how things went with the governor election in Ohio 2 years prior to that to the presidential election.
I was here then, and
yeah.
I voted for the Republican. I'm a registered Democrat,
mm-hmm.
and I have always, since Ronald Reagan, I voted straight Republican in every presidential election.
Well,
because I just see that the Democrats have taking us down the wrong road, and they've left us stranded, and they don't care about nothing of what we believe in. They think they own us. They don't own me, and they never will, nor will the Republicans,
yeah.
But I will vote my conscience.
Well, I was an independent up until about 10 years ago, because I couldn't find any Democrats I could vote for on these tickets because they didn't believe what I believed. They were contrary to my beliefs. And as I told these ladies that called 4 years ago, I said, you ought to vote in accordance with what you believe. If you believe the Bible, you ought to vote for the candidate that you believe that reflects biblical values. And I've even told people on the radio, if you can find a Democrat out there that's pro-life, that's pro-family, and stands for biblical values and pro-America and all that, then by all means, support them. By all means. But they're few and far between, unfortunately, today.
They're very far between anymore.
You know, the party just almost seems to have been lost to everything that's anti-God and anti-America. And but I appreciate that. Got another caller here, and I better get to them before we run out of time as well. Any last?
Hey, I just want to ask one other thing.
Mm-hmm.
Are you the one that's on the preaches on the radio too?
On what?
Do you have a minister's program on where you preach on there?
No, no, sir. We're just on here on Sunday night. We're hoping that we can get on during the week.
I just heard him on there today, and I just wondered
there's another Pastor Davis in the area. You might be thinking of him, Southwest Baptist Church. I'm at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and he's about 10-15 miles west of me in another county, but no relation. But he's also on the radio during the week, so Greg Davis is his name, but okay. I'm Al Davis. So, but thank you for your call.
Brother,
appreciate that.
The call, and maybe I'll call you back.
I'm glad to have you calling, and do call back again. Appreciate that call. And, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, feel free to give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's toll-free, 888-677-9673. And I believe we have Barb in West Virginia on the line. And, Barb, are you there?
Me.
Hey, good evening. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Well, good. I was hoping I would get through because I've had a couple things on my mind the last couple days. I'm studying on my master's degree in criminal justice.
Right.
And I read a couple things, and it just blew me away. And I thought, this can't be going on. And then I bought a book, and I was reading the book along with it. I was about Tyranny, Trickle Down Tyranny.
Okay.
And I was reading that along with it, and I thought, whoa, now, you know, this is some good reading. And I found out that G.W. Bush had approved of a thing, and I don't know what the actual name of it is, where they can arrest people who they believe to be terrorists.
Right, right. Yeah, there are a variety of laws like that, yeah.
And they can arrest them, and they can take them to countries who, other countries who torture the people, and they have no rights, and the detainees have no rights, and our country can take these people to other countries where they know they have cruelty and such against the people that they take there.
Yeah, and just again, our caller calling in as well, and just to kind of sum up what you're looking at, they have a program, and it did come in when President Bush was prosecuting the war on terror, and they would pick people up on various battlefields and in various areas. And yeah, they would take them to other countries. Other countries had a little more lax interpretation of the word torture, for instance, and also enhanced interrogation. There's some interrogation techniques that the liberal left in this country construed as torture, but really isn't, and it depends on how you define torture. It's just like the waterboarding thing. Only a handful of people were ever waterboarded, and actually Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was the big one that actually revealed a wealth of information. He even admitted that if we did this more, we'd get more information, because in Islam, if you get if it gets too uncomfortable for you, you're allowed to talk. it's
yeah,
allowed.
But now he signed this NDAA Act in December, which they can arrest any
Who signed
American
that? Oh, that's the one that President Obama signed. Yeah.
Of a terrorist, yeah. And then we have no protection.
And there is some question on the interpretation of that. And if you're talking about taking an American off the streets in America and whisking them away to some other location outside of America. There are some potential constitutional problems there. But if you're talking about taking an American off from the battlefront in, say, Afghanistan or something like that, who has renounced America and made treasonous statements against America, then in some of those cases, you're a little bit different situation there. But yeah, that's probably a little more than we've got time to explore too much here tonight. But that's one of the reasons that we need to get some more Christians involved in the government, isn't it? So that instead of having unsaved people passing these laws and interpreting laws, we can get some godly people in there. And, you know, as Christians, we're supposed to be salt and light in the world. And hopefully you get more Christians involved in the government. And it starts with voting. It starts with running for small offices on the local level, going up to the county level, the state level, and then eventually on to the national level. It takes time to do it, but hopefully we can turn back the tide of some of these things while we still have a chance. I mean, we still have open elections, and they're still free, and we still have a chance, and God's still on the throne. We need, as Christians, to pray and get involved. And we'll have to leave it at that right now, Barb, but I thank you for the call, and I want to get, I got a couple more callers here, and of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, toll-free, 888-677-9673, and we have John in Cuyahoga Falls, I believe, calling in. John, are you there?
Yeah, I am.
Hey, you weren't.
First time I heard your program, Pastor. You mentioned something about you have a church in Richfield?
Yes, sir. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road. If you are familiar with where the turnpike hits 77 and all that area right there, that's right where we're at. There's a Pilot truck stop right next to us.
Okay, is that off, is that Old 21? Or
yes,
that
that's 20? Old 21, yeah.
Okay, now, are you, is your church, what do they call it, 501c, or
I did not start the church. When the church was set up, I believe the first pastor incorporated it, but I think the incorporation papers have run out. I'm not sure what happens with that.
Well, you know, that has something to do with what you can and can't say. And
well, yeah, like I said, I mean, nobody's, you know, I say the stuff we've been talking about on the radio all the time, this is typical. I mean, we talk about Islam, we talk about the government, talk about the Bible. We do this, we have a Friday night Bible study where we do this for 2 hours, we talk about all kinds of stuff. And for the last several years that I've been the pastor in doing this, nobody's ever come and told us we can't do it. So, and if they did, I would ignore them.
So you're at the Holiday Inn. So like if I took 303 to 21, I'd turn north.
Right. Yeah. Just head north. Just before you get into Cuyahoga County, we're still in Summit County. And, as you head north, you'll see, you'll go past the turnpike entrance. And right after the turnpike entrance, there's a little, thing on the east side of the road. That has some office space for lease and all that. And then right after that, there's a Holiday Inn Express and a Super 8. Or, I'm sorry, a Motel 6. And that driveway there, that's we meet at the Holiday Inn on Friday nights from 7 to 9. And then on Sunday mornings, we're there Sunday morning, 10 and 11, and at 6 o'clock Sunday evening.
Okay, so, well, I may be dropping in on you just to get a feel for everything.
Hey, we'd love to have you visit sometime and let you know we have, and I haven't had a chance to announce this yet, coming up in June the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, we're having a conference on Islam. On Friday and Saturday, that's the 22nd and 23rd, we're having a four-hour session, 2 hours each day, it'll be 4 hours total, called Engaging Muslims with the Gospel. And Tom Wallace, who was on the program with us a couple weeks back, about 3 weeks ago, has a whole program on how to understand what Islam's about, what we as Christians need to know, and how to talk to a Muslim. A lot of people are afraid. They think, what can we do? I mean, can we talk to these people? Will they listen to us? Are they going to try and put a fatwa on my head to have me killed? How can I reach them with the gospel? And that's one of the things that he's going to address. And then Sunday morning in the 11 o'clock hour and Sunday evening in the 6 o'clock hour. That's June the 24th. He's going to be preaching and talking about the subject of Islam and what we as Christians need to know, and challenging us in that respect to defend our faith and to reach Muslims with the gospel. So invite you to come out and visit that if you get a chance. That'd be something you might like to. And anybody else that's listening, if you're interested, you can give us a call at the church, 330-659-6561. That's 330-659-6561. And if you don't get us right away, just leave a message and we'll try and get back to you. And hopefully, John, that gives you some information, some background information there. And,
I appreciate that. You say Sunday 10 and 11, like two different services?
We have a Bible study at 10 o'clock, and then the morning service is at 11. We have been studying Israel, and we're at the part of Israel in prophecy right now, and the 10 o'clock hour Sunday morning at 11. I'm preaching through the book of Revelation right now, and then Sunday evening at 6, I'm preaching through currently the book of 2 Kings. And then, so we've got all that going on. But we'd love to have you visit.
I appreciate it. Hope to see you there.
All right, thank you, and thank you for your call. Appreciate that.
Okay, Pastor. Right. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. And we've also got Nancy in Euclid calling. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, toll-free, 888-677-9673. And Nancy, are you there?
Yes, Pastor Al. Sorry,
hi, good evening.
I called so late.
That's okay.
I just wanted to mention about the demonstration in Columbus next Saturday, the 19th. I believe it's from 10 a.m. to 2 regarding the heartbeat bill.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. I'd heard a little bit about that.
I would try to get there somehow or another. Have you considered going? Or I know you're extremely busy.
I don't know yet. I'd heard something about that. And for our listeners, the heartbeat bill is a bill that's it's in the Senate right now, isn't it?
I think it's in the Senate.
I'm
guilty to not knowing a whole lot of details.
Yeah, I think it's kind of stalled in the Senate right now at the moment. And what it is, it's going to recognize human life as deserving of protection at the time that a heartbeat is detected. And liberals are just all up in arms over this because they don't want people to know that an unborn baby is a human life. If it's not a human life, I don't know what it is, frankly. You know, I've got a biology degree. My wife is an RN. You know, between the two of us, we know a little bit about biology. And the fact of the matter is, at the moment of conception, there's a distinct, brand new human life that begins. It's distinct from the mother. It's distinct from the father. It's not either one. It's unique. And it's a unique creation of God, really, and it's alive. It's not dead. If it was dead, it wouldn't be growing. I mean, any woman that's listening that's experienced a stillborn child or had a miscarriage, you understand what the difference between a live child that you're carrying and a child that you're carrying that has died. I mean, know the difference. There's a big difference between a live fetus and a dead fetus. If the unborn child is not alive, it would have to be dead. You know, you can't be a little alive and a little dead. It's one or the other, and it's a human life. It's not an animal. It's not some kind of malignant tissue. It's not some kind of guppy or something like that. It's a human life, and the heartbeat bill recognizes that. And the opponents of it, the proponents of abortion on demand, they don't want women to understand that what they're carrying is a human life, and that when you perform an abortion, what you're doing is ending a human life. And of course, there are times when the ending of a human life, such as capital punishment or the defense of your home or something like that, is authorized in the Word of God. But I guarantee the Bible, you can search it cover to cover, never authorizes the ending of a human life for the convenience of the mother or because they think they made a mistake. It's just not in the Bible, is it? Nancy kind of didn't let you talk very much there. Sorry about that. But again, encourage you, get active, promote that heartbeat bill, and check into that. Good night. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoll.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoll.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.